open my eyes to the world. The world that shines in you. Open my eyes to the world. The world that shines in you. Let me see you brightening the air. Let me see you playing everywhere.
That was William Vitalis with Open My Eyes to the World. Welcome to tonight's program of Let's Find Out on bbsradio.com. The program Let's Find Out is about the union of science, spirituality, and the ultimate raising of human consciousness. Let's Find Out brings you knowledge and inspiration of your inner divine temple. The universe is expanding, and we must join in, because that's what cures and that's what higher learning is all about. There's a new wave of illumination flowing onto the planet and throughout the planet Earth. The BBS radio station is dedicated to bringing this information to the world in various ways. There are many programs and subjects on BBS radio, as there are culture and languages. There is a team of tireless people producing and editing programs to bring you viewpoints of how to grow within and develop the strength in your body and your own spirituality. This brings new understanding, expansion, new programs, awareness on how to improve your life, and messages from the unknowns. If spirituality can be considered a movement, then the Let's Find Out program is one that shares the most talked about of topics. Perhaps this is because it has the power to be a conduit for self-definition, born with an inner longing to cultivate a purposeful life and establish a deeper connection to the universe. The ultimate desire of human consciousness is to connect with your blessed higher self. This is going to become more and more apparent as we travel through 2018 and 2019. This wave of new energy, the double helix that came to us in 2012, has a purpose, and it helps you to manage your emotional body. Meditation is key and strengthens and guides us to be able to give just a little bit more. Take the time. Be sure to listen to your favorite shows on BBS Radio. Who can predict the energy and triumphs that will come, and the joy that is felt as the heart opens and expands? When you are desperate, empty, in despair, and fatigued, reach out to Elizabeth Joyce and Let's Find Out for strength, goodwill, cooperation, and kindness. Many of your questions will be answered here. Let's Find Out is a program that does exactly what it says. It finds out. Please write to me or email me with your questions and interests on spiritual growth and the workings of the universe. Somehow, some way, and through someone, we will find your answers. This program is about you. The archives are full of infinite material. If you have missed this show in its entirety, or any other show on BBS Radio, you can catch up during the week by accessing the archives. Share with the kindred spirits who are journeying along with you on how they pursue higher levels of consciousness through light, energy, chakras, angels, reincarnation, prophecies, alternative medicine, spiritual retreats, and much, much more. And unlike religion, spirituality allows for interpretation, your third eye awakening, and manifesting of a calmness that comes from spending time with your loved ones and sharing with others. So let's begin by listening to tonight's program with Elizabeth Joyce. Good evening, this is Elizabeth Joyce, and we are in the middle of January, and we are progressing along, although we do have February to face, everybody duck. Tonight, we're going to have a very unique program, but one that I'm looking forward to, because we're going to talk about the heart of wellness.
And when I hear that sentence, the heart of wellness, the first thing I think about is the importance of love. Because how in the world could we have heart without love? So although we're going to be talking to Dr. Kavita Chinyanyan, I hope I said it right, we are also going to be talking about the power of love. So good evening, Kavita. How are you?
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you.
I don't know if you agree with my summary, but that's my take on it.
Oh, yes.
So tell me, what is each of us ultimately seeking in our career, relationships, society, and culture? What do we really want in life?
You know, I was listening to your intro at the beginning of the show, and I really like what you say, that ultimately all of us is seeking, bliss. Mm-hmm. And the way that I would define bliss, because it's such a charged word and it's so overused,
sometimes, yes.
Yeah, sometimes we kind of lose sight of what it really means. So I think one thing to contemplate on is whether it's with objects in our careers, in our relationships, whatever it is that we are constantly seeking, if we really sit back and think, what do I really want out of this? Each of us is seeking this kind of a permanent state of contentment.
A state of being.
Yes, this permanent fulfillment. It's like, once I have this, I'm going to be permanently fulfilled. I'm going to be content forever, the next car, the next house.
It seems like we can't hold a Kavita. We can go into the state of being on occasion, but we stay there. And I don't think any kind of surgery could do it for us, do you?
No, wish it was that easy. There are no quick fixes when it comes to this kind of an inner journey. There is no medicine you can take and there is no surgery we can perform for
I studied with Deepak Chopra. I don't know if you know that. In fact, I met Dr. Deepak Chopra and his children through Louise Hay, who was my teacher.
Back
1994, when he first came to this country and his kids were little. He is amazing. So I'm going to ask you, what is Ayurveda?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Can you explain? Because, that's an Eastern term, Ayurveda medicine and Ayurveda thinking. And it's the term, to me, of balance, of balancing your spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical. But I'd love you to explain it.
Sure. Ayurveda is an ancient medical science. It's one of the oldest medical science systems that is available. Of course, there is also the Chinese medicine and so on. But in Ayurveda, the word actually is a composite of two separate words. Ayurveda, two different words. So Veda literally means knowledge. So, and Ayur means life. So it's the knowledge of life. So, think about how profound even just merely the word is, because when we are talking about a medical system, but we are talking about life, which means nothing about life is excluded in this medical system. Everything that makes up who we are is considered in this science in terms of restoring health, in terms of restoring wellness, and balance is a big part of that. Balance, and it's very individualized, because what is balance for you is not balance for me. And so each of us has to find that, very unique point of balance. And that's what Ayurveda really excels at, that there isn't one thing that fixes everybody.
Well, you may not know this, but I'm one of two sets of identical twins.
Oh, really?
And if there's anybody that knows that, I know that. Because you would think identical twins would want the same foods or have the same way of balancing, and not at all. Every soul is different.
Yeah.
So when you take Ayurveda and you put it with yoga, which to me is the science of the movement of the body,
yes,
to bring a circulation and health, with Ayurveda, then you've got something that's very balanced. Is that not true?
Well, it's, you know, yoga is much more than that. Because yoga is really not about the body at all. And that is a common misperception in the West, particularly, especially with all this focus on the postures and the yoga movement and the culture. But that, you know, the physical aspect of yoga, the asanas, are really a very, very small part of yoga. And they are part of yoga for a specific purpose, and that is to cultivate stillness in the body. And the asanas are really an aid for meditation. It's like,
Right, exactly.
So that we can, you know, meditate in the body, and the body becomes an aid for meditation.
But I believe that in order to do all of that, you need yoga, and you need to balance the chakras and open the chakras and have them spinning in harmony, and to have your mind still, of course, not worried about what's coming next or what's happened yesterday, but just right in the moment. And when you can do that, you do get a feeling. I want to say people may call it the alpha state or a different state of being, but it's really not. I think it's circulation and balance with the heartbeat of the universe.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's
true. And then we're going to put Vedanta in there. Now, the Vedanta is another old Sanskrit word. Is that true?
It is a Sanskrit word, and you know, to understand what Vedanta is, we just have to touch upon you know, what it really means. And as I was saying earlier, Veda means knowledge, and Anta is the end of knowledge. So Vedanta literally means the end of knowledge. And that's very counterintuitive, you know, for people. It's like, what do you mean the end of knowledge? Because we feel like the more we know, the better off we are.
Now we go into bliss. There isn't anything in bliss but light. And then when you come out of it, then you have the knowledge.
Yeah, well, Vedanta actually is a very logical science, which shows us that there are two types of knowledge. One is the knowledge we kind of acquire about objects, and we, you know, go to school and learn from society, so on and so forth. It's a never-ending process. But that never really puts an end to the question of seeking. You know, it never ends, because there is never any end to how much knowledge you can have. It doesn't matter if you are the most well-informed person, there will be
absolutely
as much that you don't know, right?
Right. In fact, we know a hangnail of what there is in this universe.
Yes, exactly.
It's coming in all the time. And it's amazing how much, when the new information comes in, how our awareness grows to how little we do know.
Exactly. And so Vedanta tells us, you know, that's secular knowledge. And that isn't really going to put an end. That isn't really going to bring us this permanent fulfillment that we, each of us, is seeking. So what brings permanent fulfillment then? So that's the whole science of Vedanta. And it goes into, you know, the like in Buddhism, you know, there are the Four Noble Truths and then the Eightfold Path and so on. So in Vedanta, it goes into the crux of the issue. What is the conundrum of human life? You know, why do we go through these cycles of pain and joy? Why isn't it that we are always joyful and always happy and always fulfilled? Why doesn't that happen? Why is it that we can have everything that we want and still be unhappy?
Can you explain it?
Yeah. So, and it shows us that actually the only kind of knowledge that can put an end to all of that, that clamoring that is part of, you know, human life, is knowing who we are. And so self-knowledge with a capital S, knowing that who we are is eternal, unlimited, blissful, you know, consciousness, not just knowing that theoretically, but really knowing that in experience, that puts an end to all kinds of seeking, because then we know that we have never been incomplete. So all of our seeking for fulfillment comes from a sense of being incomplete, a sense of lack. Right. And so this
being separate, as we say.
Exactly.
And we're so, not as good as they are. They're smarter than we are. And that's just not true in anything.
Right.
We are as smart as anything and anyone on the planet, but we have to learn how to tap into that section. For example, a trumpet player or a singer or a piano player or a mathematician. It's just yes. different interests, don't you think? There's so much to this world.
Yes, there is. But the one thing that, you know, that all of us have in common in being part of, you know, being human is the ability to gain the self-knowledge, or to really, it's not even gain self-knowledge, it's actually a remembrance of who we really are. Because we go about thinking we are this person with this story, with this culture, with this, you know, gender and nationality and race and whatever it is that we identify with, you know, I'm a doctor and you're a radio host or whatever our roles are, we become identified with that. And so self-knowledge teaches us that all of that isn't really the full picture.
Right, there's a lot more.
And a lot more. And so that is Vedanta.
Now, you wrote this book, The Heart of Wellness, and it's bridging Western and Eastern medicine to transform your relationships with habits, lifestyle, and health. Could you talk a little bit about that central idea?
Yes. So, you know, there are many, many books out there on a holistic approach to heart health or to other chronic illnesses that include diet and exercise and, you know, replacing modern medicine with herbs and things like that. This is not that kind of a book. This is really, you won't find that kind of a theme in this. What this book is it's a paradigm shift in how we approach like the fundamental questions of health and disease. Because unless we do that, then we can have, you know, we can be exercising, we can be dieting, we can do everything and still suffer, as in still be driven by fear of not wanting the disease and what would happen if I had this disease or cancer or, you know, and there is a lot of elemental fear that is invoked with certain diagnoses and things like that. And right. so this book is actually a paradigm shift where we change the way we look at ourselves and the world and our lives and our habits and health and disease and all of that, because we go from knowledge to self-knowledge. So, and how going from one to the other changes your paradigm. So that's really what this book is about.
Well, you know, my whole life has been that way. Mm-hmm. When I had cancer, I was diagnosed with cervix cancer in 1976.
Oh,
and
wow.
I said, I don't have time for this. I can't have this. It's got to leave because I have two children to bring up. And yeah. I got through it. And
wow.
then I had kidney failure. And I said, I can't have that because I was younger then, and I just decided that I was going to get well, and that's all there was to it. And I did.
Yeah.
But it was something inside of me. It was my heart. It mm-hmm. was my thinking. It was my connection to spiritual center that
yes.
made me feel that strength. And I've done wonderful things, absolutely incredible things. And that's accessing the power of the mind. But it's the power of mind in a different way, because I have to bring in the divine with this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we can do anything without what we call the divine, which is your spiritual element.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And we just have to be able to do this. So how did this come about? And how is this book different from other books?
So, so as I was saying, you know, this is how it's different, as in it's not really about preventing heart disease. It's not about curing heart disease. It's none of that. In fact, it goes into how how, you know, heart disease happens, but importantly, it goes into how suffering happens. Whether or not we are ill or healthy, we, you know, it doesn't matter. Each of us will find a way to be miserable about something. You know, it's like, for instance, you travel from one country to another, and you see, and I wrote about this in the book, because I grew up in India. And when you grow up in a developing country, you see, this poverty to such a level where you can somehow understand the suffering. It's like, yes, I understand why people may be miserable, because you don't know where the next meal is going to come from. And you think that, okay, you solve the problem and you come to a developed country and there should be no suffering. You know, there should be like joy all the time.
Oh, but, how is it? There should be.
There should be, right? But yeah. why then don't we have that? Because it doesn't matter whether the problem is real or imagined, right? We still have the same kind of issues. And
that means we all do have the same kind of issues.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And so, the way this book came about was, really driven by my own spiritual journey and, a shift in my own perspective where, you can no longer talk to somebody about their health without really talking about their spirit and about opening to this larger truth, right? To this
greater
truth.
Well, you probably got that in India, but in this country, that's not the way it is. They just talk about the body. And when you try to bring in a emotional component, the doctors don't want to hear it. They'll say, I'm just here for your body. I'm not a psychologist.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly.
Yes,
yes. Don't understand that if you're worried about your son who's in college and having a difficult time, that it's going to affect you physically as well as mental, emotionally.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, the thing is, it's changing very, very gradually and very slowly. It's changing that culture. Yes, because
it's going to be a big year, 2018, because we're going into a spiritual renaissance where people are going to begin to understand this inner connection this going into silence. And I call it filling up the gas tank. You have to go in and fill up the gas tank so the motor can keep running. And I've said that.
I love that.
I've studied with Amarita Nandamayi. I don't know if you know her.
Yes, yes, I do.
I've been with her 30 years. I was one of the original people that helped bring her to the United States. And so she has opened me up to the ability of having great awareness. And I want to ask you what holistic means, because to me it means something. To you it means something. What does it mean for you?
Well, holistic, if you look at the formal definition of holistic, it means relating to wholeness. And that's really how I take holistic to be. Holistic isn't really substituting one thing with another. It's not like saying, okay, I'm not going to take, statins, but I'll take some herbs. That's not really holistic.
No.
You see, it's just replacing one thing with another. For me, holistic means where, we are treating the body in an inside-out fashion. So it starts from the inside and, we work on our own internal landscape. And that actually starts radiating out into the cells, into the DNA, into the body, into the hormonal system, into the nervous system. And that's how you bring about wholeness and wellness, because it's an inside out thing.
The word that comes to me, well, there's two. One is peace.
Yes.
And the other one is, it's a quiet thing.
It's
bells ringing and lights blinking and fireworks. It's a quiet thing. It's something about inside where you may be angry at somebody and then you sit down and think about it and you realize the pain therein. And therefore, you can understand. And that's compassion. And it's a quiet thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Everything, the most significant things, actually anything that's significant, occurs in silence.
Well, I want to get to a point, because we have a meditation at the end of every show on Let's Find Out. I don't know if you know that, mm-hmm. but there are many studies that show that meditation can lower blood pressure and benefit health. And can we measure the things that you're speaking of and I'm speaking of, realizing our blissful nature through meditation? And if so, how?
No. So, you know, meditation is a central piece of my program as well. And, you know, and for any of my programs, that is a prerequisite. And the reason for that is that, you know, as you know very well, cultivating that inner silence and the stillness is the most important aspect in order to gain a different perspective. So, and again, you know, there are plenty of studies that have shown lowered blood pressure and different effects on the hormones and so on and so forth. But what I'm discussing in the book, which is the realization of our true nature, it cannot be measured because it isn't an objective thing. It's That's an right. entirely subjective experience.
It's personal for each person.
Yes.
So therefore it can't be classified and put in first grade or kindergarten or, you know, do this and you'll have it or do that and you'll have it. No, no one knows when they're going to get into the state of being. No one knows when they're going to go into bliss. You can go into bliss by opening the door of the car for an old lady and helping her in. You can go into bliss when you hold a new child. You can go into bliss when you meet somebody on the street that you may recognize from a past life. No one knows. Isn't that true?
That is true. Yes, absolutely. You know, those are all moments of bliss. That's very, very true. Those are moments of, you know, joy and bliss. And this self-knowledge that comes from the, you know, the definition I was talking earlier about with regard to Vedanta is a permanent, but it's not, when I say bliss, isn't like, you know, you're slap happy all the time. It isn't that.
Oh,
it
no.
It is when we are talking about bliss from this perspective, it is a contentment. It
right.
is a very quiet sense of contentment, which spills over. So, you know, there will still be emotions like sadness and anxiety and so on. It doesn't mean that all of those things go away. But what the important difference between the ordinary state and that state of, or it's not really a state, it's just a remembrance of your own true nature, is that these things come and go without really touching who
right.
we know that we are. So that you know, experience of that contentment or that deep fulfillment can, you know, there are some hints on functional MRI and so on, where you can look at the brain and see coherence and a certain brainwave activity and things that can tell us what kind of an experience somebody is having and whether or not they're having that kind of a fulfillment experience and if that's their state of being. But on a very practical level, it's not measurable. So
that's right.
Yeah,
I call it a smoothness. Instead of worrying and helter skelter all the time, there's a smoothness. There's an assurance that you're always taken care of. There's an assurance that you're part of the universe.
Yes.
There's assurance that whatever is handed to you in life is fine because you're in this assurance.
Absolutely. Yes.
And in the Western world, we're not taught that. We're taught, oh, you got to worry about this. You got to worry about kindergarten. You got to worry about preschool. You got to worry about college. You got to worry about what you want to be. And then you have to worry about how much money you're going to make and if you're good enough and all that kind. That's what we have here. That's not what you have in India. I know it's not.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but, you know, the thing is, the world is changing everywhere because, you know, it's becoming more diverse and you know, the Eastern influence is here, Western influence is there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, there is a lot of the, you know, there is a lot of the clamoring that goes on in even in India, and because, you know, that's the world culture right now of clamoring.
Now, you write about something that I've been teaching for a long, long time.
Uh-huh.
I call it setting a condition. You call it clarifying intentions. I love it. Do you know that's part of why the human being is different from animals and why we can manifest by setting a condition? If you really make up your mind to something, you will create it. The trouble is that we don't make up our mind. We go, well, I'd like it if I deserve it. I like it if I'm good enough. I don't really believe I can have that. I don't deserve it. I haven't earned it. Anything that comes to you, you've earned, number one. And number two, I wrote a book called Ascension, Accessing the Fifth Dimension, which talks about setting a condition. And I have people try that in my workshops. So let's talk about what you call clarifying intention.
Yeah. So, the thing about intention, as you so beautifully explained just now, is our intention guides our action, and our actions become our habits, and our habits become our lifestyle, and our lifestyle basically determines our destiny, you know? So that's how that goes, is the intention is taken all the way through to who we are going to become and what we are going to make of our lives. And this is where, you know, a lot of times that clarifying intention is something that we don't do. Whether it's a simple thing like, you know, wanting to get somewhere. We really need to know, right? I mean, if you get in the car and you say, well, I'm going to go to, the market, you have to know that you're going to the market. You can't just get in the car and start driving and not know where you want to go, right?
Well, for safe driving, you're right. But you do. And, you know, I find that when I wake up every morning and I do my stretching exercises and I breathe in the light of the day, I set the intention for the day and for what I would like to complete in that day. Now, sometimes I do complete it and sometimes there's interruptions, but I call that's what the day handed me. Mm-hmm. Day handed whatever interruption. But for the most part, I can go right through it. And I have found out, I remember trying this way back when I was in classes. And I had a day where I had four meetings that were very important and they were each a half an hour apart. And I was so scared that I would run over on one meeting and not make it or be late to the next one. So I sat down on the bed in the morning after I dressed and I went through the day and I saw myself going to each meeting, leaving it, getting to the next meeting, having that meeting, and I saw all four of them, and I said, this day will go quickly and easily, and that's exactly what happened. It was amazing.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
You ever try that?
Yeah, I do, but, you know, and that works, you know, a lot of times, but a lot of times when we have, you know, schedules that are unpredictable and, you know, there are emergencies and things like that, then it's a little bit different.
That's true.
You know, and so the setting of the intention or clarifying an intention is really more about clarifying the intention. It's like, okay, if I decide to do something, if I decide to take a course or, you know, go to school for something, for instance. I need to be very clear about, you know, this is the course I'm going to take because this is what I want to learn.
Right.
If there isn't that clarity and I'm thinking in and I'm like, okay, I'll just do this and see what comes of it and I'll just kind of go with it.
Yeah, a lot of people do that.
Yeah, yeah.
It drives me crazy. I give psychic readings, and I'll ask a person what they want me to help them with, and they'll go, oh, anything you can see for me. I go, no, you're not going to be lazy. You have to ask the question that you want answered. Or I can't go in and see it. It's that simple. Yes. You have to ask me, what is it that you want? And I will tell you how to work it out. And it's amazing when you get that harmony together.
Absolutely. Yes, I agree. I agree. And that's exactly it, you know. It's like really clarifying. And you know, have you noticed that as soon as we clarify intention, we clarify our path kind of starts clearing up. It's like, then I know what I need to do.
People that will help you. If you just say you're going to do something, people will come into your life that can support you.
Absolutely.
And that's beautiful. Absolutely. That's the beautiful beauty of the universe.
Yes.
So we're halfway through the hour. We need to take a break for some commercials and things that are going on. But we are going to come back, and then we're going to talk about disease and suffering. And we're going to talk about more about the book of your heart. Heart of Wellness. And I'm really excited about that. So let's go and give a listen, and we'll be back in a little bit. This is Elizabeth Joyce from Let's Find Out.
This is Elizabeth Joyce from Let's Find Out, and now it's time for your weekly cosmic tip. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Stargazing, week of January 15th through January 22nd, 2018. This week brings a new moon and the planet of love, Venus, moving into an air sign, Aquarius. A new moon brings new beginnings and perhaps a love commitment or a move to a new home. At least it brings in romance and home decorating. The Capricorn new moon is on Tuesday, January 16th. All the planets are bunched up in one half of the zodiac, stretching from Scorpio to Aries. Think of it as a suitcase with everything contained inside of it. On a personal level, you take a look at what's filling your suitcase, but also get a good look at what's missing in your life. Take a long, deep look within to determine how you can shift the structure of your life to bring forth some of those missing pieces. A sacred Sabian symbol for this new moon is pilgrims climbing the steep steps leading to a mountain shrine. Meditate on this symbol to find personal meaning in your life. It's time to look at your past goals with a refreshed focus. Perhaps it's time to raise your consciousness above and beyond the area of your busy world to seek a greater meaning and bring higher service in your life. On Wednesday the 17th, Venus moves through Aquarius until February 10th. The pieces of your life should awaken with a new focus and movement. This is an excellent opportunity to reach out and meet new friends and explore groups and organizations. The change of signs from Earth to Air brings excitement, unconventionality, and the need for some space in your social circles. 6 of the 10 planets are in Capricorn now, so you have an opportunity to bring in your higher ideals that you'll discover at the mountaintop with focus and hard work into the mundane world. The Sun moves into Aquarius on Friday the 19th for a month. It's time to lighten up, look forward to spring, and focus on building for your future. This is a friendly networking combination. Explore new groups, friends, and organizations to determine if their ideas are in harmony with your needs. Perhaps it's time to buy a new car or a mobile device, as well as add some new interests to your bucket list. What is it that you've always wanted to be able to do but haven't quite managed yet? The moon is in Pisces for the weekend. This supports short getaways by water, romance, movies, meditation, and paying attention to your dreams. And now let's get back to tonight's program on bbsradio.com. Let's find out with Elizabeth Joyce. Seeding and Nurturing the Garden of Your Soul by Elizabeth Joyce is a perfect holiday gift for Christmas or for any other holiday. This book, Garden, as Elizabeth calls it, and it's one of her favorites, talks about the invisible energy known as Shakti, Chi, the Holy Ghost, is not a time or a thing, but the underlying nature order of the universe, whose ultimate essence is difficult to hold or to understand. The object of spiritual practice is to become one with these energies, to become a tunnel, to become a download effect, or by whatever you choose to call them. To achieve this type of balance, is known as the state of being. This book, penned by Elizabeth Joyce, Seeding and Nurturing the Garden of Your Soul, is an experience of compassion. It's a desire to help others with these troubling times, through light and love shining through the darkness, and to bring love and light to all those who read the words. Seeding and Nurturing the Garden of Your Soul is not a fluffy, feel-good book. It is a well-written, practical guide exploring the groundbreaking philosophy of truly transforming your life. If you are serious about creating change, embracing your birthright with enthusiasm and grace, and creating your very own infinite possibilities, then this book is for you. With all the religious teachers, books, and masters of philosophy, we learn soon that they are one and the same. Spiritual practice is to become one with the soul and harmonize your inner nature in order to achieve that which you have been born to do. When you are walking your path, you innately know this because it becomes effortless. You think about it, you talk about it, you plan it, and you do it. This always involves meditation and the practice of moral practices. This book, Seeding and Nurturing the Garden of Your Soul, brings the principles which can be discerned by observing nature and can be followed as a practice. Your impact and connection to this energy force brings you a force field containing unlimited possibilities. However you practice it and use it is up to each and one individual soul. This book contains the natural laws of the universe, which will help to open your heart and guide you. Seeding and Nurturing the Garden of Your Soul is available at Amazon.com and at Elizabeth's website, www.new-visions.com. Pick it up, and you'll keep it by your bedside forever. This is Elizabeth Joyce from Let's Find Out. I wanted to let everyone know that my new book, a memoir, called Unlimited Realities, is now available on Amazon.com. It just got released from the publisher this week. This memoir is the life of a gifted seer and healer, how a woman transcends from pain and sorrow as destiny taps her on the shoulder. Rather than just shrugging off her problems, she began to gaze inward and upward. She became spiritually awakened and floated above her body, gaining wisdom and knowledge. When I was 8, I became ill with a touch of TB. We lived in Ridgewood, New Jersey, but Mother had grown up in Warner, New Hampshire, where her mother and family still lived. I was shipped up to Grandma's to live for a year, which was the beginning of saving my soul as well as my life. When Dick Clark was with us, he reviewed the American Bandstand chapter of Unlimited Realities and absolutely loved it. He said that Unlimited Realities would make a great read. So order yours now at Amazon.com, or you can order it from my website, www.new-visions.com. Don't miss this one. It is a great read and shows you a lot about now as well as the hereafter and what happens to us after we pass from this earth plane. Thank you for listening to Let's Find Out. This is Elizabeth Joyce from Let's Find Out. I wanted to tell you about my semi-annual spiritual intensive, which is planned for the weekend of February 24th and 25th, 2018. If you're serious about creating change, living in your true place in the universe, and working with your spiritual gifts that are your birthright, then this is the workshop for you. As many of you know, I only teach this twice a year, and miracles have occurred from experiencing this workshop. It's time to pull off the veil from your faces, not only so you can see who you really are, but so that you can see your neighbor and begin connecting with them at this time. This is the time of oneness with humanity. So, how much humanity can you express in your life? As we enter this new world of wakefulness, Let's get caught up in the joy and excitement of realizing and embracing the new awareness that's coming to this world. Embrace the world with all it has to offer, as well as all the other worlds in this universe. Experience deep meditation, unlock your blocks, move beyond your boundaries, and begin to open your spiritual chakras. Experience ascension while manifesting your soul's purpose, the energy and tools that you will bring away with you from this workshop will enhance your life and beyond that. The time to begin is now. Where? The James Laurel House in Doylestown, Pennsylvania, in beautiful Bucks County. When? The weekend of February 24th and 25th, 2018. Time? 1 p.m. to 5 p.m., giving you time to look around the town and enjoy the many restaurants in the evening that are available. For further information, go to Elizabeth Joyce's website, new-visions.com, or you can call Elizabeth to register, 215-996-0646. Looking forward to working with each and every one of you and watching you shed, grow lighter, and evolve closer to the divine.
You're listening to Let's Find Out on bbsradio.com. Station 2. If internet radio has a name, it's BBS Radio, the number one live internet radio talk show on the planet. It's Let's Find Out, an honored guest. Come every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. If you'd like to call in and ask a question, dial 888-429-5471. Again, that's 888-429-5471 in the U.S. and Canada. If you're just tuning in and would like to hear this show in its entirety tomorrow, you can download it at the archive link at bbsradio.com. Remember, if it's not mainstream, it's BBS Radio. So now, let's find out with host Elizabeth Joyce.
Such a feeling's coming over me. There is wonder in most everything I see. Not a cloud in the sky, got the sun in my eyes, and I won't be surprised if it's a dream. Everything I want the world to be is now coming true, especially for me. It's clear, it's because you are here. You're the nearest thing to heaven that I've seen.
I'm on the top of the world, looking down on creation, and the only explanation I can find is the love that I've found ever since you've been around. Your love's put me at the top of the world.
Something in the wind has learned my name, and it's telling me that things are not the same. In the leaves on the trees and the touch of the breeze, there's a pleasing sense of happiness for me. There is only one wish on my mind. When this day is through, I hope that I will find that tomorrow will be just the same for you and me. All I need will be mine if you are here.
I'm on the top of the world again, down on creation, and the only explanation I can find is the love that I've found ever since you've been around. Your love's put me at the top.
This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out, and that was Karen Carpenter with On Top of the World. That is one of the most wonderful love songs that I could have played tonight. We're talking about the heart and the wellness of the heart, and Karen was singing about her connection to spirit, whether you like it or not. As long as spirit is around her, she's on top of the world, and so are all of us. My guest tonight is Kavita Shinyanyan, and she is the author of The Heart of Wellness, and we are discussing what the mind and body and spirit can do to keep the heart healthy. So let's talk about disease and suffering, and do they go together, and how can we rise above that, Kavita?
So, yes, such a poignant question that. So, rising above suffering really takes a very deep inner journey, and it cannot be found. You know, the thing that we're seeking, which is this fulfillment and freedom from suffering, cannot be found externally. Cannot be found in objects, it cannot be found in relationships, it cannot be found in our achievements, successes, any of that. And so if we are looking for it there, we are looking in the wrong place.
It's always within.
Yes. So when we say within, it's like a turning back on really looking at who we really are. And that is the journey that I describe in The Heart of Wellness. And it's a journey that I call, it's an outside in and an inside out process. Oh. Outside in, as in we work on certain aspects of our diet and our lifestyle that actually bring our hormonal and neural pathways into balance. Because that balance in the body and mind is required for this self-knowledge to occur. Because if we are constantly in this confused, chaotic state of body and mind, we are not going to be able to do the kind of inner work that is required to find that fulfillment. So we do this, these lifestyle changes and the dietary changes and so on to really bring what I call or what is called in Ayurveda Agni, or the digestive fire, into balance. And when we are talking about digestive fire here, we're not talking just about digestion of food. Of course, that's one part of it. But the digestive fire also is responsible for how we process our emotions, how we process our past experiences, whether or not we are still ruminating over something that happened 30 years ago, how we process our day-to-day lives. All of that is determined by this Agni. So the program that I lay out works on this Agni to bring it back into balance. And then we work on the inside-out process, which is through breath work, through meditation, and through self-inquiry, and this whole process that I called decluttering. It's like removing everything that is unessential from our lives.
You want to hear my favorite sentence? I have to share it with you. The way in is the way out, and the way out is the way in.
Yes, absolutely.
So this is now, we know, you and I both know, that there's amazing, innovative new things to help heart disease.
Yes.
And yet you claim that they have not made much difference in preventing it. And of course, part of this is why people have to learn to go within, correct?
Yes, absolutely. And so prevention, see, this is the thing, is if you can think of this, this is a common kind of a cartoon that we, most of us may be familiar with, is where, the faucet's on and we are mopping the floor. So we've done really well with mopping the floor with the advances in technology, but we haven't learned how to turn the faucet off, because that's what you need to do. You need to turn the faucet off, because otherwise you'll be mopping forever, right?
I know. I'll hear people say, but every single time we arrive at an answer sometimes with my clients, then at the end of it, they'll go, but, And of course, now they're bringing in another problem that doesn't really exist until they make it up.
Yes, exactly.
It happens all the time. And I call that going into negativity. So yes. Can we really overcome the effect of our genes by changing our lifestyle? And how yes. can this be done?
Absolutely. And, several studies have now been published looking at epigenetics. And this is a relatively new branch of science, and relatively new because, we weren't really sure of the effects of lifestyle on genes until a few years ago. And for instance, Dr. Dean Ornish published a study where meditation and other practices that are very similar to those that I've described in the book actually change DNA. Okay. So they increase the telomerase length and decrease and change some of the genetic expressions and so on. So we know now that. Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say I know that that's true, and I was going to support it by saying that I do healing intensives, and people come in. So one lady came in that was facing heart surgery in 2 days, and another man came in that was going blind, and they both arrested themselves by the end of the intensive, and neither wow. of them had to go any further.
Yes.
That's yeah. wow.
So there are studies showing that that's, it's not... And there are very good reasons why those things happen, and there is a change in the genetic expression and so on.
And we do need to find out more about that, because then we really can do some real good self-healing, because it is from worry, it is from how we think, it is from what we say. And yes. our words are so important, Kavita, they really are. And I yes. wanted to stress that tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
So we're at the end of the show, and I want you to tell me about the book and where people can get it. I'm thrilled. I know it's just come out this week, right?
Last week, actually, yes.
So tell us how they can reach the book and reach you.
The book is easily available on Amazon and other booksellers. It's called The Heart of Wellness. And I'm more information about me, my upcoming courses and so on can be found on my website, kavithamd.com, kavithamd.com.
And now we have you up on bbsradio.com, so when they download the archive, they can go to that page and they'll be able to reach you as well.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
So thank you very much for coming, and I hope that we'll have you back on again at some point. It's been wonderful to have you as a guest.
Thank you so much. I've had a great time in discussing things with you.
Oh, thank you. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. And next week, we have Roberta on from the AIM program, which is a wonderful study of vibration and how vibration can help you to heal. And if you want to know about the AIM program, you can go to energeticmatrix.com, or you can get the book Sanctuary by Stephen Lewis and Eric Slauson on Amazon.com, so that you'll be ready for the show next week. And it's going to be a fascinating journey. Now it's time for our meditation, and we're going into the meditation, the love, let love be your answer. And first we'll hear from Elizabeth Hepburn, and we will finish tonight with the glorious music of Richard Schulman playing Love. Thank you for listening to Let's Find Out on bbsradio.com, and I'll see you next week. Good night.
With every breath we take. take. Smell it in the beauteous rose, hear it in the sweet bird's song, see it everywhere you choose to look. Love lives in us every moment. Feel it deep within your soul. Feel it in your beating heart. Feel it in your hearty laugh. Feel it in the warmth of every touch. How can we ever doubt it? Think we can live without it? Love is the answer in our lives. Feel love is all around you. Breathe it in with every breath. Love is the answer in our lives. Surrounds us every moment. Let it guide you through each day. Let your life be full and free, fragrant, joyful. Then you'll see every gift life wants you to receive. Let love perfume your body. Let love caress your mind. Let love embrace. Releasing ties that bind. Love is the only answer. Love will free all the bondage. Make love the answer in your life. May love perfume our bodies. May love caress.
And now it's time for the Let's Find Out weekly meditation. Please sit in a chair with both feet flat on the floor and legs uncrossed. Keeping your spine straight, take a deep breath. Release the breath, take another deep breath. Release the breath. One more deep breath. Release the breath. Closing your eyes, lean back, and soak in the music of Richard Schulman and Ascension Harmonics. This piece is called Love. Love is the master. Love is the one who masters all things. I am mastered totally by love, by my passion of love for love. I have grown sweet as sugar. O furious wind, I am only a straw before you. How could I know where I would be blown to next? Whoever claims to have made a pact with destiny reveals himself as a liar and a fool. What is any one of us but a straw in the storm? How could anyone make a pact with a hurricane? God is working everywhere. His massive resurrection is coming. How can we pretend to act on our own? In the hand of love, I am like a cat in a sack. Sometimes love hoists me into the air. Sometimes love flings me into the air. Love swings me around and around like a Ferris wheel. I have no peace in this world or any other, unless the lovers of God have fallen on me in a furious river of rippling energy. The love force has surrendered itself to love's command. like milkweeds, they turn day and night, night and day, constantly turning and turning and crying out, reaching for more, expanding for more, filling my heart with more. Stay close to my heart, I pray. Stay close to my heart and to the one who knows your ways, your blessed higher self. Come into the shade of the tree that always has fresh flowers. Don't stroll idly through the bazaar or the perfume makers. Stay in the shop of the sugar seller. If you don't find true balance, anyone can deceive you. Anyone can trick out anything of straw and make you glad for taking it. Don't squat with a bowl before every boiling pot. In each pot on fire, you find very different things. Not all are sugar cans. Not all have sugar. And not all emptiness winds up at a peak. Not all eyes possess vision. And not every sea is full of pearls. O nightingale with your voice of dark honey, go on lamenting. Only in your drunken ecstasy can pierce the rock's hard heart. Surrender yourself, and if you cannot be welcomed by a friend, know that you are rebelling inwardly like a thread, like a vibration that doesn't want to go through the needle's eye. The awakened heart is a lamb. Protect it by the hem of your robe. Hurry and get out of this wind, for the weather is turning bad. And when you have left this storm, you will become a fountain. You will find a friend. And there will always be one nearby to nourish your soul. And with your soul always green, you will grow tall like a tree, flowering and leafing always with sweet, light fruit, whose growth is within your interior. Take a deep breath. Release the breath and melt into the music of Richard Schulman and love. Thank you.